Hi everyone, it's Bina 007 here for another 10-minute spoiler-free movie review of Pain and Gain, Michael Bay's apparently low-budget action comedy, which is bizarrely based on this totally improbable true story about three bodybuilders in 1990s Miami who decided that instead of working for the American dream, they were going to kidnap and extort one of their more unpleasant victims at the gym and basically take all his cash, live the high life, and it never even occurred to them that anyone might be suspicious about this activity or that he might go to the police. The movie opens with a totally high-octane gonzo humour. Everything seems to be more colourful, more loud. It's a really wonderfully funny, gripping start. We have Mark Wahlberg, who plays Daniel Lugo, who's, I guess, the brains of this outfit, even as if we can say that anyone has brains in this operation. And he is the bodybuilder. And he is the key bodybuilder, the one with the dodgy criminal past, who decides that he wants to get pumped, get fit, and get rich by robbing his unpleasant client, played by Tony Shalhoub. And it's absolutely key to this story that you realise how unpleasant this client is, so that when he does eventually survive the kind of hapless extortion attempt, that you realise that people just aren't going to believe him because he's just so slimy and oleaginous. People just assume that, of course, he's into this kind of weird... Of course he's going to get extorted. His money's probably all criminal anyways. So to pull off this heist, Daniel Lugo, aka Marky Mark, allies himself with this absolutely hilarious character, played almost equally improbably by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's a guy called Paul Doyle, who's also an ex-con, ludicrously pumped up. I mean, even more so than The Rock usually is. And when we first meet him, he is an evangelical Christian. So he goes along with his kidnapping extortion, but at the same time, he wants to be just a nice guy and be nice to the kidnappee. And then obviously, as they get all the money, we see him slip back into his old ways of, you know, insane cocaine addiction. And I actually have to say, and I mean this with all seriousness, and I know the benchmark isn't high, but I think Dwayne Johnson is really exceptional in this movie and steals the scene from people like Marky Mark Wahlberg, who I guess we would have thought would be the star. Because the way he goes from this very earnest, quite convincing evangelical Christian to this sort of coked up, really desperate, hyperactive, just insane ex-con is, number one, it's a huge acting range, but number two, it's just very convincing. And, you know, kudos to him. One of the most memorable scenes is seeing, and this is apparently true, you see The Rock later on in the movie kind of trying to dispose of some body parts on a barbecue while completely out of his mind, trying to chat up a woman across the street. I mean, it's one of his best and most funny roles. And then the third part of this trio of idiots is a muscle builder by the name of Adrian Dobell, who's played by Anthony Mackie, who has also pumped up for this role, perhaps less successfully than the other two. And he plays a guy who's been abusing steroids and ends up getting together with Rebel Wilson, who plays a nurse at an impotence clinic that he goes to. And again, actually, just as, you know, The Rock has a slightly different role than normal, it's quite interesting to see Rebel Wilson here because undoubtedly her role is played for laughs, as it always is. And there are the sort of obligatory, hilarious, isn't it funny to see a fat chick in a leopard print lingerie, you know, having sex with this bodybuilder scene, which in a sense is quite distasteful. So all that is definitely in there, but at the end of the day, she is truly in love with this bodybuilder. And towards the end of the movie, when you see the kind of the heist and the gang kind of fall apart and her realize what's going on, I think she's actually quite, not just convincing, but sympathetic in the role. And I think it would be interesting to see her transcend the way she has used her physique and her comedy to do something that's a bit more of a dramatic stretch. I would really love to see Rebel Wilson in a more interesting role. I think she has real potential there. So anyway, as I kind of have hinted up to now, the movie falls into two halves. You have the first half, which is basically inviting us to look at these guys as lovable rogues, you know, the friendly neighborhood kidnappers, and to laugh at how incompetent they are and also kind of admire their work ethic and their dedication to this ridiculous cause. And it does have a certain energy, and I have to really give a shout out to Ben Saracen, who is the cinematographer on this movie. He also photographed World War Z, and he shoots Miami. It's just wonderful in this very kind of hyper-coloured, hyper-real way that gives you a sense of the sort of gonzo adrenaline rush energy. And I also have to give a shout out to Michael Bay. Can't believe I'd ever say those words. Because he does shoot Miami in a way that is not normal. Like, it's not the typical CSI Miami scenes of glitz and shine. Although there's a little bit of that there because he has to show the lifestyle that these guys are aspiring to. But he is picking kind of grungy backstreet warehouses. And he's showing us a kind of grimy, grungy, sleazy side of Miami that we probably haven't seen before, as well as the slicker side of life. So that's all good fun and games. Unfortunately, we then kind of go into the second half of the movie where the plot sort of sees these hapless gangsters, you know, get their comeuppance. And I'm afraid the movie at that point really does lose its energy and pace, as perhaps it might, because of course the subject matter is ultimately serious. And we shouldn't be cheering these guys on and laughing at them and feeling their pain. So there's a little bit of a tonal shift, a little bit of a sort of a sympathy shift. And then in that second half, when Michael Bay does try to put in a scene that's meant to be like ridiculously wacky funny, like the barbecue scene I mentioned, it feels a little bit jarring. It's like we're not kind of sure what sort of movie we're watching anymore. So overall, I would say good out the gates, this movie, but ultimately becomes a little bit tedious in the second half, and it's a real shame because it is a genuinely quite fascinating story. In terms of the direction of this film, it has gotten a really hard rap, particularly from Mark Kermode, who's one of the most famous and august film critics in the UK, who's called it misogynistic and slick and all sorts of other stuff. I don't think it's that. I think it's just a bit banal. I mean, it's certainly not as offensive as the objectification we get in a lot of other Michael Bay films of women and of cars and of objects. You know, he does make these shiny, materialistic, essentially devoid of any kind of spiritual meaning movies. But this is not that film. I think Pain and Gain is actually trying to say something really profound and interesting about people who are obsessed with popular culture and about the American dream and about people with a whacked out sense of entitlement and reality. And that, you know, is an interesting story for a large chunk of this movie. So to put it another way, I think this is probably Michael Bay's best film since Bad Boys. And I know that's not a particularly high benchmark, but it is fun while it lasts. And, you know, the fact that it kind of peters out is not the worst crime in the world, certainly compared to Transformers. So if you've seen the movie and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the website, bina007.com. If not, have a great day. Pain and Gain has a running time of 129 minutes and is rated R in the USA and 15 in the UK. The movie's also on global release pretty much everywhere except for Denmark and Colombia, Panama and Taiwan, where it releases this weekend, and in France, Chile and Peru, Cyprus and Sweden, where it releases the weekend of September 11th, and then finally Argentina on September 19th. Thanks for listening.